Amen. Let's go ahead and get our Bibles open up to Proverbs chapter 8 tonight. Proverbs chapter 8. We're just starting off here. Proverbs chapter number 8. We are going to get back to 2 Kings this evening, but we're starting off in Proverbs chapter number 8. Title of this evening's message is Making the Most of Your Opportunity. Making the most of your opportunity. As I was seeking the Lord how to present the message or exactly what to talk about tonight, I considered all those different kings have been going in. You know, some are bad, some are good from the nation of Judah side. Israel, pretty much, they were all bad. And I began seeing all the different opportunities. I began thinking, and the Lord impressed upon my heart, you know, they all have the same God that they're supposed to be serving. They all have the same opportunity. Now, I know what some people might have different backgrounds. Some might have good parents. Some might have bad parents. Some might have a different upbringing. But the job's the same. The opportunity is the same. And I began thinking about how many times we lose out on opportunities. As I was mentioned earlier, you know, we live in America and we have the privilege of free speech and be able to give out gospel tracts without any type of getting in trouble. At least, you know, as long as you're doing it not on trespassing on somebody's property, you can walk up to somebody and give them a gospel tract. You can preach and teach freely. You can even have radio stations. You could even do it open air. I mean, there are so many great opportunities we have in America that many countries do not have today. And then I thought about opportunities when it came to our families. If you have children, even children that are at home or away, the opportunity God's given us. I think about the opportunities of church. And so many different opportunities we have to hear the preaching and teaching, to minister in so many ways, to learn, to grow. You know, there are so many opportunities we have. And I was thinking about these kings. They came to reign. Some were for a couple years. Some were for a few days. Some were for many years. And they all had the same opportunity. Tonight we're going to look at a guy that seized the opportunity, a guy who made the most of his opportunity. And the Lord gets kind of blessed my heart with this thought of, you know what, are we really taking advantage of the opportunities God's given us? I look back and I think, you know, we've been here for a little while now. It's been 16 years. And I think it's, I don't even know, what's today's date? Today the 8th. So it's on the 9th. So that means tomorrow we've been here for, I've been the pastor for, I don't know, is it 10 years or 11 years? Something like that. So it's. I think it's only 10 years. I look back at the opportunities we had for the last 16 years and I'm thinking, man, how many things we maybe missed out on because we didn't do what we could have or should have, or maybe not as sold out or surrendered. And, you know, those things come to your heart and mind. You think about people that are sitting there, and I know they all have their own responsibility for their own actions, and I get that. But we have opportunities, too, that we can minister to people, and we can reach out to people, and we can try to help win more people. And when I see these kings, they have a great opportunity to serve God's chosen people. And some do good, some do bad. Some excel, some really fail. And you say, what does Proverbs chapter 8 have to do with that? I'm glad you asked. Proverbs chapter 8, obviously it's Proverbs 8 today while I was reading through my devotions. The Lord gets worked on my heart in verse number 1 and 2. We're going to read throughout the majority of the chapter all the way down to verse number 20. And I want you to see that not only is wisdom available to you, wisdom is crying out to you. The Holy Spirit of God tries to instruct you with wisdom. The Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. And I'm thinking that these kings, you know, they messed up their opportunity. And I'm thinking about the opportunities we have. We have the opportunity for wisdom. We have the opportunity to let God teach us and let God show us. And wisdom, man, it's there for us. And what this passage of Scripture is saying, it's calling out to us. It's saying, hey, look, it's coming. Look what it says in verse number 1. Doth not wisdom cry? And many times today when I was thinking about making decisions and things like that, and it says, does not wisdom cry? I'm thinking, man, the Holy Spirit of God lives in us. He works in the mind of Christ, you know, the Spirit of Christ. It's there and it's available to us. And it cries out, doth not wisdom cry? And understanding prefer for voice. It's something that's saying, hey, look, you should listen. She standeth in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. When you go back a couple chapters earlier, you have the strange woman that's calling out to the simple ones. But it's not just a fleshly side that's calling out to you. The Bible's saying here that wisdom is crying out to you, and we have this opportunity. We can know the mind of God. We can know what God thinks about something. God can lead us, and God can direct us in areas. Are we taking advantage of these opportunities we have? Verse number 4, unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is in the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing for a word perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. So these are just the instructions of how much we should seek after wisdom and gain wisdom, because it's coming. It's there. It's available to us. Verse number 11, for wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. That's the value of wisdom, and just it's readily available to all of us. It even talks about the person in number 5 that is foolish. It even talks to the person that's simple. It's available to those that have understanding in verse number 9. It's for all of us, for wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy. And the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding, I have strength. By me kings reign and princes decree justice. So these kings, they had the ability to get there. Now this was written, majority of Proverbs is written by Solomon. So these kings that we're talking about are coming after Solomon. He's saying, look, you can reign. A king can reign by wisdom. It was there. It was available. By me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. Now look at this next phrase. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. It's available to you. It's an opportunity to have wisdom. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before the works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there was no depths, I was brought forth. When there was no fountains abounding with water. Behold, the mountains were settled before the hills was, I brought forth. And I think that's long enough. You can continue on reading, talking about wisdom and the benefits of wisdom. And I think it's amazing when you consider all these kings that we've learned, and we've learned about a lot, and they go up and they go down. We're getting ready to look in 2 Kings chapter 18. You can go ahead and take your Bibles back to there, 2 Kings chapter 18. We're going to look at one of the greatest kings of all time, and King Hezekiah. And you're going to see here that he seized the opportunities. He made the most of his opportunities. And I guess wondering tonight as I began to ask the Lord, how do we want to present Hezekiah and what exactly is that you want us to do with Hezekiah? And the Lord kind of said, well, let's start off here. Let's look at the fact he took the opportunity he had and he grabbed a hold of it. Think about it. Many characters in the Bible grabbed a hold of an opportunity. There's many, 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 many more that did not take advantage of the opportunity, but there's some characters in the Bible that came to mind, some really familiar ones. You think about David and Goliath. The Goliath was there. It was a big boy. All those thousands that were out there with the nation of Israel, all those people that were there getting ready to fight Philistines, none of them took the opportunity to take Goliath on. David did. You think about Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There was many people that were taken from Jerusalem. There was only those 4 that chose not to defile themselves. They took advantage of the opportunity. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego standing amongst a large group of people. And some of those, I'm sure, were Jewish people. They chose not to bow down. You see this in the scriptures over and over. There were people who took advantage of the opportunities that God gave them. Joshua and Caleb, they were ready to go into the promised land. They were willing and ready to believe God and take God at his word and by faith. But you have all those others that said, no, we choose not to believe. Well, the youth conference that the teenagers went to, I think I have the theme right. I might be wrong. I know somebody's in here that was there, so he might correct me if I'm wrong. But it says, you were made You were made for this time, or you were made for this moment. That's what it was. You were made for this moment. And the story began with Esther. And the first guy that preached, he preached about Esther. He talked about for a time such as this, talking about how God allowed all those different things to happen. And for that moment, that time, Esther was made for that. And the encouragement was to these teenagers was, yeah, you might be a little goofy. You might be a little unsure of yourself. You might have not as many talents or friends or abilities. He says, but you know what? God has made you for this moment in history. God has made you for this time. And the same truth is God in his providence knows who we are, who we were going to be. And he has something he wants us to do. He has something that's planned for us. And we were made for this moment. And you think about the story, and there's that famous verse that says, for Mordecai is telling Esther about going in and seeing the king, and Esther is fearful because she might lose her life for it. And Mordecai says this, for thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Mordecai was saying, this might be the whole reason why God allowed you to become queen. And he says, look, if you choose not to be that person and choose not to assume that responsibility or take that opportunity, God's deliverance is going to come from somewhere else. But if you miss that opportunity, you're only causing yourself and your family to suffer. God's plan is going to happen one way or another. God's plan is going to be accomplished. God's will be done in this earth. Christ was going to come, and he came, and he died on the cross, and he rose again. And Christ someday will return again, no matter what we do in this world. That is going to happen. But God gives us opportunities, and God gives us privileges, and God gives us times, and he's made us and created us for this time in this moment. Now, how many of us are going to take advantage of those opportunities? You think about wisdom, it's there, and wisdom is crying out saying, hey, over here, you know, I'm more valuable than rubies, I'm more better than gold, I'm more valuable than anything. And it cries out to us over and over and over, seeking for us to seek, you know, if we seek him early, we're going to find it. It's available to us. And then I thought of that verse in 2 Chronicles 16:9. It says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from hence thou shalt have wars. And what the Bible is saying is God is looking for that individual whose heart is perfect towards him so he can show himself strong. And you saw David was willing to show himself strong. God showed himself strong through him. God showed himself strong through Daniel. God showed himself strong through Joshua and Caleb and through Esther and many of the great Bible characters because they seized the opportunity that God had given them. And here we're going to read about King Hezekiah, one of the greatest kings in the ever in the history of Judah. You can see here that he was even recognized as being one of the best, if not the best. He took advantage of the opportunity. Now, did the king before him have an opportunity? He did. The king after him have an opportunity? They did. You might remember Hezekiah as we'll go back just shortly. Uzziah was a very good king. His son Jotham was a very good king. His son Ahaz was very horrible. He was horrible. He's very wicked. His son Hezekiah was one of the best kings. His son Manasseh was an evil king. Now, we've been looking at these in the past, and we've been showing you, hey, look, they followed God, but not with their whole heart. They followed God like their father followed God, but not like David. You know, they were sold. And here, Hezekiah has a father that is very, very wicked. And it's in chapter number 16. We might even look back at it. Very, very wicked. But Hezekiah, he seizes the opportunity. Ahaz chose not to seize the opportunity to serve God and turn the nation back to God. Instead, Hezekiah takes that opportunity. But then Manasseh comes after him. What happens with Manasseh? Manasseh, he's wicked again. So the question is, what are you going to do with the opportunities God has given you? There's young people here and there's older people here. We all have certain opportunities that God's given us. So the thought tonight is, just as wisdom is crying out and is available to all of us, we all have certain opportunities. Are we going to make the most of them? And I don't know how many years you've been at this church. I told you I've been here for 16 and a half years now. And I look back and I'm thankful for the opportunities I seized. I'm thankful for the opportunities I reached out. I'm thankful for the opportunities I did what I thought God wanted me to do. But there are things that I wish, hey, I should have listened to the Holy Spirit a little bit better in dealing with that family or reaching out with that person. There are times and things that I think that I wish and I pray and I ask the Lord. Even tonight, when I before the service, God was working on my heart. I says, God, I don't want to miss out opportunities. I want to do what you want me to do. So tonight, making the most of your opportunities. Let's jump here in 2 Kings chapter 18. It says in verse number 1, now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Israel and Jerusalem. So he reigned a good number of years, not as many as Uzziah, but more than his father. His mother's name was also Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. And look what it says in verse number 3, the testimony. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that David his father did. Now, this is kind of neat. You know, all the other comparisons has been David is the benchmark there. Nobody else had lived up to David, but he did all that David. And look what he did in verse number 4. He removed the high places. We've talked about that before, about how they did what was right, and they refused to remove the high places, which was a breeding ground for idolatry. And it says, and break the images, and cut down the groves, and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. And that brazen serpent was the time, remember when Moses had made that brazen serpent when they were getting bit, and all they had to do was look to the serpent, and in faith, believe, and then they were healed. And they had made that an idol, something that God used to save the nation instead of looking to it in faith, and something that is remembered God's working. Instead, they started burning incense to it. And what did they do? He wanted to get rid of the idol. He says, for unto those days, the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nahashtan. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. You read that verse number 5, you kind of get the idea he was a good king. It says, none before him, none after him. And he said, what about David? Well, David didn't reign over Judah. David reigned over the whole entire area. So, I mean, we're not comparing one versus the other, but that's where the separation would have been, that David ruled over the whole nation combined. He ruled over Judah, but he gives a very, you know, what a high praise there. Verse number 6, for he clave to the Lord. He didn't just listen to him. He clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord commanded Moses. You're going to say, man, this guy must have been perfect. He was not. You're going to see that he messes up in the future weeks a little bit, but God still uses him. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth, and he rebelled against the king of Syria and served him not. He smote the Philistines even unto Gaza and the borders thereof from the tower of the watchmen to the fenced city. So let's look here for a little while at this thought, making the most of your opportunity. When you think about a sermon like this, you think, okay, what stops me from my opportunities? What are the obstacles that stop me from doing what I should do? Why don't I maybe pray like I should and read my Bible like I should or serve like I should? There's obstacles. There's things that stop people from serving. There's a couple things that Hezekiah could have allowed to stop him from serving. The first thing I want you to think, that Hezekiah did not let these obstacles stop him. Hezekiah did not let these obstacles stop him. First thing I want you to think, he did not let his culture stop him. He did not let his culture stop him. Now, this is a very, very dark time during the nation of Israel. I want you to take your Bibles, if you like, to 2 Chronicles chapter 28. 2 Chronicles chapter 28 is the same passage talking about the contemporary passage of what's going on in 2 Kings 18. It's a sister passage in a sense. It's contemporary in being the idea is written about the same time period. It gives us a little bit more understanding here. Hezekiah ascends to the throne at a very dark time in the nation of Israel. As a punishment from God for their wickedness, Hezekiah's father Ahaz did, Judah had been attacked by its enemies, and many of its people had been taken and carried away. What's worse here is underneath this very dark picture and dark time, they're not crying out to God seeking mercy. But instead, look what it says in 2 Chronicles chapter number 28. Look at verse number 19. For the Lord brought Judah low because of Ahaz, king of Israel. For he made Judah naked and transgressed sore against the Lord. Now, you see here that the Lord brought them low. Look what it says in verses 24 and 25. And Ahaz gathered together the vessels of the house of God and cut them into pieces, the vessels of the house of God, and shut up the doors of the house of the Lord. And he made him altars in every corner of Jerusalem. And every several city of Judah, he made high places to burn incense unto other gods and provoked to anger the Lord God of his fathers. You say, Pastor, what does this have to do with us? Well, He was entering into a very corrupt culture. One of the first things that Hezekiah could have said, Hezekiah says, look, it's really too bad. There's no sense trying to fight this. It's just the way of the world. Let's just kind of go along with it. I can serve God in my own way. I don't have to worry. I don't have to bother anybody else. But that's not what he does. So what does that have to do with us? It has everything to do with us. We live outside these doors, probably even inside these doors a little bit. There's a dark culture that's out there. There's a bunch of wickednesses going on. And there's a bunch of corruptness. One of the greatest fears in America today is not just dying of terrorist attacks. It's the corruptness of the government. It's the corruptness of high business. It's not being able to trust people, not being able to, that person you're on the phone with and talking to, should I give them my credit card number or not? You know, there is corruptness that's out there. You don't know the person on the other side of the door. You used to be able to go up and knock on doors and talk to people and have a good conversation. Today, we live in a fearful society. You don't know who's on the other side of that door. We don't really like getting guests knocking on our front door that we do not know, because you don't know if they're scoping out your house to rob it later on. We live in a fearful, they lived in a culture, Hezekiah walked into a culture that day and that time that was wicked and that was very dark. And Hezekiah couldn't use that as an excuse. This isn't that big of an opportunity. It's too dark. It's too hard. But no, he doesn't let that obstacle stop him. If you think Hezekiah's situation of being surrounded by corrupt culture is unique to him, just look around you. And look at the fact that, hey, how come I don't stand for God? How come I don't talk to other people? How come I don't take all these opportunities that God has given us in this country to be a blessing and a help to others? It's because sometimes we don't think it's going to make a difference. Sometimes we think the world is too dark and that no one's just going to care. Now, you say, well, if I was the king of the world, or if I was the king of Judah, then I would have done those things because everybody has to listen to me. Many of the guys that came before him didn't. He had the opportunity, he sees it greater than anybody before him or anybody after him, the Bible's saying here. And what an amazing story. Now, how about us? Do we seize the opportunities? And you think about it, you go through the Bible and you see that most people that lived for God in this day and time, they were living in an anti-God culture. And you think about Jesus' day, those religious leaders, they weren't living because they loved the Lord. You go to Roman, when the Romans were in charge in the first century church, it was anti-God. You go back in the nation of Israel, even many times to take a stand for God like Joshua and Caleb did, or even Dave, it was many times anti-God. But you see the people that stand up and the people that make a difference in the world, the ones that take advantage of the opportunity. We do live in a wicked world. The Bible says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despiser of those that are good, traitors, heady, heavy-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. For such turn away. So I want you to understand here, Hezekiah, he grabbed a hold of the opportunities, and yes, it was despite the obstacle of the fact that it was a dark time. Second thing is, not only was it is the culture didn't stop him, his family didn't stop him either. You ever been embarrassed by your parents before? I don't know, have your parents ever told a joke or said something before that just kind of embarrassed you? Or maybe you didn't want to embarrass your parents, you know, didn't want to invite your friends over to, you know. Can you imagine having Ahaz as a dad? Ahaz is a very wicked man. Ahaz, even if you go back and you look a little bit about Ahaz, it talks about some of the wicked things he did in chapter 16. Let's go ahead and read a few verses there in chapter 16. Ahaz was the father there. The second obstacle that Hezekiah did not let stop him, he did not let his family stop him. You say, well, does your family ever stop you from serving the Lord? There are sometimes people that try to discourage you in your family. Sometimes because maybe you don't have a Christian heritage, or sometimes you have a parent that disappointed you, or because of children didn't do what they could or should have. We let them mold us. They let them make us into what we want us, what we think we should be instead of God. And Hezekiah obviously did not let his father do that. Look in here in 2 Kings chapter 16, verse number 1. It says, in the 17th year of Pekah, the son of Remaliah, Ahaz, the son of Jotham, king of Judah, began to reign. 20 years old was Ahaz when he began to reign, and reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, and did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord his God, like David his father. But he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, yea, made his son to pass through the fire, according to the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel. And he sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places and on the hills and under every green tree. So this is Hezekiah's dad. It says even in verse number 3, if you catch that, he actually says, made his son to pass through the fire. And that was a ancient heathen type of worship to false gods. They would heat up this idol that had hands that were out, and they make it so hot, and then they put the baby there. And, it's just sad things. And that's God condemned that. God said no to that. He says before he casts out the nation of Israel. But Ahaz brings that worship back in and makes his own children, some of his own children, go through it. And Hezekiah, he doesn't let his family stop him from serving. You know, sometimes we feel like because of where we came from or because of our heritage or because of our circumstances that we cannot serve. But the point was that Hezekiah did not let his past determine his future. You cannot let the past determine what you're going to do with the opportunity of the day. Hey, yes, maybe you forgot, and maybe you didn't do what you should have last year, or maybe you didn't do what you should have done before, but don't let that past determine what you're going to do with today's future, with today's opportunities. Maybe you missed too much church during 2019. Guess what? It got 2020 here. Maybe in the last 16 years, I wish I would have seized more opportunities, but the next 16, maybe we'll take better advantage of those opportunities. And as we see God work and we see God move, Christians many times think, hey, I didn't do this right. There's no way that God's going to want to use me now. And that's completely untrue. That's a lie from the devil. Just think about it. Hezekiah's father was wicked, but God says, hey, look, there's a boy. There's a young man. He's becoming a man. And guess what? If he's going to live for God, I'm going to bless him. If Ahaz would have lived for God, he would have blessed him. If Jonathan would have lived for God even more, God would have blessed him more. If Uzziah would have done even more, God would have blessed him more. But it was Hezekiah that says, I'm going to take advantage of this opportunity, and I'm going to live for God, and I'm not going to let the culture stop me. I'm not going to let the family stop me, and I'm not going to let my age stop me either. You think the third thing is that obstacle that sometimes people allow to stop them is their age. Now, I know you say, well, he said he was 25 years old. That doesn't seem like it's too young. It's not too young, but how many people would like to have a 25-year-old running their country? I don't know. In America, you have to be 35 to be the president of the United States. And there's some 35-year-olds I wouldn't want running the country. There's some 70, 80-year-olds we don't want running the country. But it's besides the point that sometimes people allow age to stop them. And you say, Pastor, yes, you're right. Young people shouldn't let them stop serving the Lord just because they're young. We're not just talking about young people here. We're talking about young and old. If you go through the Bible, there's people who, when they were young, like Jeremiah, that says, oh, Lord, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I should send thee, and whatsoever command thee, thou shalt speak. So those are things there that for the young, but also the old. There's people that God used at an old age, that Abraham thinking, I can't have a kid at this age, or Sarah thinking that, and even Zechariah thinking that. You know, young or old, don't let your age stop you from serving the Lord. You know what? Take the opportunities God has. Say, well, I don't get the opportunity to go out and do certain things because I'm too old. You got plenty of opportunities that now that you're older that you can do that you couldn't do earlier. And you might say, well, I'm not old enough to do certain things in the church, or I'm not old enough to do certain. Well, take the opportunities God's given you and do the best you can with the opportunities God's given you, and let God bless you and use you this way. But don't use the culture, and don't use your past or your family or your age stop you from serving the Lord. Hezekiah, he did not let obstacles stop him. The second thing I want you to think about is Hezekiah did take these opportunities. The first thing was he did not let obstacles stop him, but he did take advantage of these opportunities. Look what it says in chapter 18, once again, verses 4 through 8, what he did. He removed the high places and break the images. 2 Kings 18, chapter 4, verses 4 through 8. Break the images and cut down the groves and break the pieces of the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nunhushtan. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him, for he clave to the Lord. Can anybody cleave to the Lord? We can. Can anybody get rid of the idols? They can. Can anybody want to follow after him and fear the Lord? They can. And departed not from following after him. Can we all do that? We can. Can we all kept his commandments, which the Lord had commanded Moses? We can. All those guys before him, could he have done those things? They could have. but many of them chose not to. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth, and he rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him not. So we see here that he rebels against wickedness, he removes the idols, and he restores a focus on God. If you go to 2 Chronicles chapter 29, it shows how he takes his nation. He wants his nation not to focus on self, but he wants to focus on God. 2 Chronicles 29, verses 2 through 5, the Bible says, "And he that did which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done, he in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them." So he got the temple ready and built back up. And he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together in the east street. And he said unto them, "Hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves, sanctify the house of the Lord your God, your fathers, and carry forth a filthiness out of the holy place." So what he's saying to them, he says, "Look, I want you to open up the temple again. I want you to get rid of all these false altars, and I want you to clean it up. I want you to sanctify yourself. I want you to sanctify the house of God, because I want to restore the focus now to be back on God, not on false idols, not on men, not on individuals. I want you to restore the focus on where it deserves to be and what worship should be. I want it to be." And he took advantage of that opportunity. He had the opportunity to die. He said, "Well, I'm not a king." Well, you're king of yourself, aren't you? We all have opportunities and desires, and we all have opportunities to make him king of our lives. We have the opportunities to remove the idols out of our hearts and remove not just the idols, but getting rid of the high places, those things that have been around for years that we think, oh, they're not hurting anything. Even getting rid of the brazen serpent that might have been something good many years ago, but we've made an altar out of it and we've made an idol out of it, and it doesn't have the right perspective now. We need to make sure things have the right perspective. We need to make sure that we rebel against wickedness. You see in 2 Kings chapter 18 that the king of Assyria, he was sending his father who did not trust in the Lord. If you go to Isaiah chapter number 7, God told Ahaz, "Hey, trust in me, I'll take care of you." He didn't do it. Instead, he went and started paying tribute to Assyria over and over and over. And then when Hezekiah became king, it says he rebelled against that wickedness. He didn't want anything to do with that. So if we truly want to take advantage of the opportunity, we should not let obstacles stop us, but we also should seize the opportunities. And last but not least, I want you to see the Hezekiah's outcome. In verses 7 and 8, you see here in 2 Kings chapter 18, back in our original passage, it says, "The Lord was with him, and he prospered, and whithersoever he went forth, and rebelled against the king of Assyria, and served him not. He smote the Philistines even into Gaza, and the borders thereof, and from the Tower of the Watchmen to the fifth city." There's two things I see here. Is there strength to go on, and the success of God. Two different things there. The outcome of a person who seizes the opportunity for God, even though they might seem like it's overwhelming, even though it might seem like we can't handle and can't make it happen, God will give you the strength to accomplish what he wants you to accomplish. And if you're serving him, he's going to give you success. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles, "And Hezekiah had exceeding much riches and honor, and he made himself treasures for silver and for gold, for precious stones and for spices and for shields and for all the manners of pleasant jewels. He had great success." You know where the success comes from? It's from the God and from the word of God. "The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Hezekiah here, what made him different than his father? What made him different than many of the other kings of Judah before? He took advantage of the opportunity. I don't know what opportunities you have in your life. There might be some things that you wish, "Hey, I wish I would have sold that stock. I wish I would have bought that Apple stock back in the late 80s, or I wish I would have done this, or I wish I would have done that." But when it comes to spiritual things, Hezekiah shows us something here. He's coming on a scene, it's a very dark time, and he chooses to live for God. What opportunity are you going to do today? What are you going to do with the opportunities that God gives you? Are you going to live for him? Now, don't let the culture stop you. Don't let your family or your past stop you. Don't let your present-day circumstances, your age, stop you. Those are all obstacles. Hezekiah said, "Nope, that's not going to stop me." Seize the opportunity to focus on God. Seize the opportunity to get rid of idols in your life. Seize the opportunity to be against wickedness. What did the Bible say earlier in Proverbs chapter 8? Remember, wisdom's calling out, wisdom saying from high places, hey, it says, the fear of the Lord is to hate. And it begins to talk about different sins. Don't link up with wickedness. Instead, rebel against it. And then let God give you the strength and show you the success. I think, I don't know how many years ago it was. It might have been a couple years ago on a Wednesday night. We talked about Hezekiah for a few weeks. Since we're in this passage of Scripture, we're going to do that again for the next few weeks. But we see here at the beginning, he starts off really good. He takes the opportunities that he has. Now, I don't know about you, but we all have different opportunities. Tomorrow, you're going to have 24 hours in your day. I know some of you have to go to work. Some of you are going to spend long hours doing good things and important things. But you have opportunities. Don't let them slip away. We see young people and we say, oh, wow, you got an opportunity to go to a good school. You got an opportunity to, you got your whole life in front of you. Don't waste those opportunities. And we would agree. We don't want that. But also, what about us and the age? We were made for this moment also. Yes, it's a little different stage of life, but whatever stage of life you're in, God made you for this moment. What are you going to do with the opportunities he's given you? Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer.